This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon to talk about dogs. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us on the first Friday of the month. Listeners, you can join us with questions, comments, 333-9455. The number if you're listening in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, you can call us toll-free. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Good to see you, Jim. It's been a while. Welcome back.
I was in Indiana.
All that way?
That's the closest the National has been. The National in the past few years was in Massachusetts and California.
I remember when you drove to New York.
And New York and Utah. And then this year it was in Indiana, just south of Indianapolis, at Columbus, Indiana.
Oh, Columbus.
That's a pretty town.
It is. It's
I hate to say this. I'd never heard of it.
The only reason I know about it is it's on the way to Louisville.
Exactly.
It has many wonderful architectural gems.
I say Columbus, Indiana, people respond, oh, the architecture there. And in fact, it's true. Mm-hmm. I noticed the architecture before I knew it was famous for it. I thought, boy, for a small town, this place has some nice buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out to be. But I did listen to the archived program from last month with Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed. I don't think she offended anybody.
No. That's your reserved right.
What kind of program would that be?
No, you're not going to make up for lost opportunity.
Oh, I think I've already offended Harriet, haven't I?
I'm sure you've offended her more than just now.
Well.
Yeah, we had a good show last month.
Yeah, it was good.
We had lots of positive comments on it. No reflection on my company here.
Oh dear.
I haven't seen Jim. I haven't seen you for a long time.
Not for 2 months. Yeah.
I haven't seen him either.
How did you do at the National then?
You know, we did good and bad. We weren't spectacular. One of our dogs did very well. We were very happy with that. But we had how many dogs? Seven?
You know, I ran into somebody at Fetching Ball that told me how you had done. She was from the Illinois Malamute Association.
We got an award of merit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I set a record for not qualifying at a national with the same dog because they had agility this year. And Neelix NQ'd both his agility classes, but came very close. I was very happy with the way it worked. It was the first time he's ever done that. And he did a lot better than a lot of the more experienced dogs. In each class, he messed up only one of the obstacles. And then he NQ'd in obedience.
Oh. But see, now this is good,
so
because
three.
People are listening. And Jim, you know, this costs money to enter these events. But he's pleased with the dog's. Oh, stop.
Oh, my gosh.
He's pleased with the dog's overall performance, even though the dog didn't qualify. And that's a key component.
Well, it was fun for both of us.
It is fun.
And, I wish he had qualified, but.
Do some dogs take to it more quickly, more readily, more happily?
And this goes into their background. Most of the agility dogs that you'll see are herding type dogs, border collies, shelties. A lot of dogs do it, don't get me wrong. But the ones that really excel are those dogs. And the Malamutes, there was kind of a curve.
Plus, they're so big.
Some of the dogs were fabulous, and most of them were mediocre. But it was the first time it was ever offered at a Malamute National. So there were more people. There were 30 dogs.
That's pretty remarkable.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, consider there are only about 20 in obedience.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But the problem is it's a week-long event, and they have like 25 events, so something's going on the whole time. And I missed all of the breed judging because agility was up against it. I missed the entire weight poll because we had dogs in the confirmation event, so they're either going to have to add a day or two.
See, I think the Golden Retriever National now is 10 or 12 days.
Oh, well, by contrast, this was the largest, I think, national or the second largest, and I think we had close to 500 entries, confirmation, agility, everything, just in obedience at the Golden They have how many?
Yeah,
2,000.
It's such a popular breed, and there's so many.
So, but. I mean, the difference is, a factor.
I kept my cat because I went to the one in 2003, and I kept my catalog, and it's got to be a couple thousand.
Can you see how thick that is, folks?
That's showing it a visual here.
That's about 6-7 inches.
It's just amazing how many goldens are entered.
Yeah, so it's a difference in numbers, and I don't know how many in confirmation that you get.
I did know the number, but I can't. But it's almost every event's in the high hundreds.
So their events are twice as big as our entire specialty. Mm. But they're rich people, so they can afford all that.
In
terms of agility, Malamutes don't excel in it, but they do okay.
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. If you're just joining us this afternoon for the first time on this program, this is a topic we take up once a month on the first Friday of the month. And obviously, Jim has Malamutes, and Carol has a Golden.
Yes.
And if you have a question for us this afternoon, we're happy to hear from you. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. We invite your questions about dog training, dog behavior, and caring for dogs. Picture in the paper this week of a little Doxie. Going to go find a new home. One of the refugees from...
Oh, on the front page of the news. That was
Katrina.
Wednesday night. Right.
Animals who survived Katrina, some continue to be reunited, apparently, with owners, and others adopted for folks getting,
That's why this is such a good example, because we talked about this 2 months ago, microchipping your animal. We're not in hurricane peril here, but should you be separated from your pet, how would anybody know? Robbie's microchipped. He doesn't wear a collar and tags in the house, and without that microchip, nobody would know. So these animals that have been separated for a good long while, the odds are that in some cases they will not be reunited, and that's why they're being offered for adoption. But those that are chipped at least have a good chance of getting back with their family.
Yeah. Can neither one of you update us on local efforts in this?
I know that the Humane Society just sent additional monies. We were working with a shelter in southern Mississippi that was basically had the roof and the walls torn off, and they were struggling to. And that effort had been ongoing now since the Hurricane Katrina. This effort, we were not involved in peripherally, perhaps, the Humane Society, but in reading the paper, it was the American Kennel Club and the American Boarding Kennel Association collaborated and brought these 80, I think there were 80-some dogs, and then they'll be dispersed to shelters throughout Illinois and Wisconsin. And, feel sorry for these poor dogs. They come up from Hurricane Katrina, and they get met with, how cold did it get Wednesday night?
Yeah,
but it shows you how adaptable they are, and that picture of the one on the front page was really heartbreaking, but it's a miracle he's alive.
So skinny.
He had a couch.
Yeah.
I mean, that was remarkable that that's what they had to do, but...
Yeah. Well, speaking of adoption, there have been some adoption events, Champaign County.
Okay. You want to know how I spent last Saturday?
No.
Okay. I was walking around Marketplace Mall dressed as a dog. We were promoting...
That was you?
Yes. I was not the only one that did it. There were some of us, but I had my stint in that costume, which was incredibly warm. And we were warned and admonished to not take off our head in public so we didn't, scar these children psychologically for life, because I guess I looked like a real dog. So I was so hot, and the sweat was running down my face that we had to run into a store, into the dressing room, so I could remove the head for a few moments and get some air. And we had an adoption event at Marketplace Mall on Sunday, which was really very successful. I was thrilled to be in that new venue because the marketing director loves animals and was a strong advocate, so I think it's a great idea. We adopted a cat before it was even out of the carrier. People just saw the cat, and that's what they wanted. They loved it. They fell in love. It wasn't an on-site adoption. They still had to wait until the next day, so we, you kind of want to remove that impulse thing. But yeah, we adopted three cats and a dog on Sunday. So,
are there other events coming up?
Next weekend, I should say, not this weekend, but next weekend, which is going to be what, the 9th and 10th? I'm so terrible at stuff. Yes.
Yeah, today's
9th,
the 10th, 2nd.
11th. Okay. We'll have a Home for the Holidays event at the shelter.
Okay, very good. Let's talk with a listener waiting to talk with us on line one in Oakwood. Good afternoon.
Yes, I have a question. I have a couple dogs I got recently in pet rescue. They from different areas of the country, and they each one is well attached to me and will stay close to me, and they get along very well together. But together, sometimes when I take them for a walk, I'm out in the country, and they will just sort of take off together. And I could yell at them and they seem to ignore me. And so other times they'll stay with me pretty good. And I wondered if there was any really good ways to... I bought a training collar and I'm going to try seeing if I could get it to be a little more responsive when the two get together sometimes.
Well, I'm going to jump right in here and ask you what you mean by a training collar.
Well, I ended up getting one that's supposed to be a citronella collar.
No, that's for barking.
Well, I wasn't told that.
Oh, yeah. The citronella collar is effective when it's used for barking and noise issues. I can't see how it would be effective in the manner that you're desiring.
Does
it, well, what
there
I
be
want to
do, does it have a remote?
That you this urge to take off that I could, you know, call them in there.
What kind of dogs are they?
Dalmatians.
When they take off, are they just full of fun, or are they chasing something?
No, they're just full of fun. They just seem to like to race each other.
They take a notion? You say you're in the country, but are they doing this near a road or something like that?
No, we'll be on a trail. Well, they will get to a road. Eventually they'll get to a road sometimes. I have to go run them down. As soon as I get there, two of them, then they're glad to come and jump in my car again and go with me. But they just sometimes just... They're so full of energy, they just got to run.
Well, you know, that's what the Dalmatians were bred to do.
It generally wouldn't be a problem as long as eventually they came back, unless they're running in a road, running into a porcupine, you know, causing some sort of mayhem down the trail. But if there's no other dogs around and they're not killing anything, if they run and come back eventually, then it'd be fine. But the quick fix... do you know how old these dogs are?
One's supposedly about 4 and the other one's about 7. So
they're well beyond puppy age.
Yeah.
So the quick way to do it is find something that they like in terms of food, like liver or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when you're at home in your backyard, call them to you, and every time, without fail, give them one of the cookies. Then when you get on and do that for a while, I mean, so that they understand that if they come to you, they're going to get a cookie, no matter what.
Yeah. People have suggested that.
Yeah. And then when when you're out on the trail, keep the cookies with you, and don't keep it a secret. Say, look, I've got a whole pocket full of cookies here. And if you come back when I call you, by golly, I'm going to give you one. And then do it. Don't try to wean them off the cookies. Just every time, give them a cookie. And do that for a lot of months.
Every time he goes out.
Every time.
Every
yeah.
single time you go.
I'll tell you what we do with the dogs. We've got lots of dogs, and they have to go from kennels to crates to the house, you know, back out. And I just have a pocket full of. Now, Malamutes will eat anything, so I've got the cheapest cookies. Of course, we go through a 20-pound box a week of cookies. So, but I just keep them in my pocket. I want them in the kennel. I just hold up the cookies. And the dogs just run into the kennels, and then I give them a cookie every time. I never fail, no matter how old or young the dog is. And we started doing that years ago because before then we tried yelling at them and, you know, kicking them and screaming, and nothing worked. Nah, we didn't kick them.
As we were sitting here rolling my eyes.
Going, But, you know, it begged them to come into the kennels, and they wouldn't do it. And then we started using cookies, and now you virtually can't keep them out. You know, they'll run out, get the cookie, and run back in so they can run out again. And you go, no, you only get one. But do that. That's the quick way to do it. Otherwise, you know, standard recall procedure, hooking them up on a lead, calling them, running backwards, and that sort of thing. But if you don't want to invest that kind of time, and the dogs are having fun when they're running, you just let them run a little bit, call them, give them both a cookie, and then let them run off again. I think that's the best, fastest way to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck.
And one other thing, I know he's off the air, but dachshunds, the name means badger dog in German. What these dogs were bred to do is go after badgers.
These are Dalmatians.
I thought he said dachshunds.
No.
Oh. Never mind.
Well, you must have thought Dalmatian, as we know, was one of its jobs was to run alongside the firemen, right?
Well, they ran with carriages, but you must have thought I was a nut when I told them that they were bred to run. Thank you for not correcting me.
I think it was...
Well, dachshunds are bred to run, too.
Not
as fast.
Or as far.
No, and why are Dalmatians spotted like that? What was a Dalmatian's job? Just to run by the carriage and... No, in the old days when horses drew the fire trucks through town, and of course in those days, which we don't do anymore, people never penned up their dogs or anything. So all the neighborhood dogs would chase the horses, and it was the job of the Dalmatian to keep them away. And if a fight ensued, which it frequently did, the firefighters could easily pick out their dog because it was white with spots, as opposed to the other dogs.
What a fascinating bit of lore.
No, it's true.
I know you wouldn't lie.
I wouldn't lie about something like this. So, but yes, you're right. They do like to run.
No.
They do like to run.
They're filled with the
joie de vivre. Yeah, that's why the Dalmatian people, when the 101 Dalmatians, they knew what these people were going to get into because they are cute puppies, but they are very, very active dogs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the people with the herding dogs, they've got these innate tendencies that you can't make go away.
Yeah. Well, when we had that Weimaraner when we were kids, she just loved to run. And we had a fenced yard, and it worked out just fine, nice big fenced yard. But, yeah, that was part of what made her day A-OK was to run. She was a lot of fun to watch, too, because she was so good at it.
She'd so get, beautiful to watch, so athletic.
Yeah, and she would get right up to the fence post or right up to a tree and then just ding. She gets so close.
She'd make that noise?
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. Other questions about dogs are invited for our guests, Carol and Jim, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455.
Can I tell a cute story or were you going to go into something?
Well, I was, but you can tell a cute story.
I'll try to tell it quick. At the Humane Society Halloween party, I used to be McGruff. We got the
crime dog.
The crime dog. We got the outfit from the sheriff's office, and thanks to me, the sheriff will no longer lend it to the Humane Society because I abused the privilege. But I was at the...
I remember when you used to do that.
Yeah, it was like one time, and I had to develop a pattern for the kids. So I would ask, what's your name and what are you dressed as? Because it was a Halloween party. Little girl, 5 years old maybe. And it's dangerous because you can't see down in these outfits. You can see maybe 10 feet ahead. So the kids would walk right in front of me and I'd crush them with my feet. But this little girl came up. And so I asked a standard question. What's your name? My name is Amy. And I said, that's right. And she said, how did you know my name? So the big-time lawyer outfoxes the five-year-old.
And he's proud of it to this day.
Oh, yes. I just started laughing inside this huge head. Oh, I couldn't stop.
You're right, though. You can see ahead, but you can't see down. Mm-hmm. And I was so struck by, you know, because people tell their kids you don't talk to strangers. And I'd be walking along. I had a handler. We to get. But all of a sudden, you'd have this. You just get tackled, and you couldn't see, and it was little kids. You know, because it was a real cute dog costume, and then little kids, they grabbed my tail when I was walking.
I learned to shuffle my feet so that I didn't kick one of the kids. But you know, they're little kids. They walk right up to you, and you just can't see them.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you need some pointers from the folks in television here, who get together and with a Clifford the Big Red Dog costume or Cookie Monster costume. Those guys are mobbed.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah. And that's not a great costume. Either one of those are not a great costume to be in on quad day or at a fair.
The Clifford costume is like two stories tall.
Oh, really?
It takes four people to manipulate it.
They told us it would take half an hour to get into this costume.
Really?
So I got there half an hour. Well, I didn't actually get there half an hour early because I had to go get the costume. But it only took a few moments. But it is hot.
Oh, yeah.
And it was hot and it was warm and humid last weekend, and I thought, oh.
What do you say we talk with another listener?
Sure.
Okay.
Also calling us from the community of Oakwood.
How intriguing is that?
All right. Line one, good afternoon.
Yes. I have a black lab. Well, it's a lab mix, and I adopted him out of the shelter in April. And he's very hyper dog. Of course, he's been neutered and all that. But anyway, he's a very hyper dog, and he is hard to get to settle down. I mean, he's on a chain all the time during the day, but when I go to take him off the chain, put him on the leash, he has a bad habit of jumping. He just wants to jump. And then after you let him loose, sometimes I let him loose on the lead, and when he comes running back to you, he still wants to jump up on you. And he jumps and runs. How can I break him of that?
Well, you know, he needs exercise. That's
he gets all kinds of that.
Well, if he's on a chain all day, I don't see how he can. And he's happy to see you.
Well, he goes. I take him for a walk every night and every morning. Also, I take him out to the Kickapoo State Park and let him walk. And you know, I'm just about half afraid to let him go.
Here's what you should do. When you take him off, when you put him on the lead off the chain, make sure you're dressed in clothes that you don't care if they get ripped up or dirty,
right.
Because he's going to jump on you. But jumping is a kind of a form of a greeting for a dog. If you were as tall as he was, what he'd be doing is running into you. If you ever
he'll do that.
Yeah, and it's very annoying. But,
yes, it is.
But for dogs, it's how they greet each other. You know, if they're happy, they kind of run and bump. And I'll bet those Dalmatians, when they take off, hit their shoulders as they're running. But what the dog wants, besides to say hello, is to go on the walk.
Right.
So what you have to do is stand there. And let the dog jump and jump and jump, but don't start walking. Don't tell him to get off. Don't do anything. Just let him jump and jump. And pretty soon he's going to get tired of that and say, well, when are we going to start the walk? And as soon as he stops jumping, and it may take a minute or two, you start to walk. All right? As soon as he stops jumping on you, you start the walk. That's what he wants. It may be the case, and it probably will be the case, that when you start walking, he'll start jumping again.
Yes, that's very true.
Soon as he does that, you stop walking again.
And don't say anything.
Yeah, don't say good dog or bad dog. Don't say anything. Just use the thing that he wants the most, the walk, as his reward, so that when he stops jumping, you start walking. Independent of that, and I have this problem, and Robin got mad at me, because we have show dogs. And when you wave food at them, they're supposed to stand real pretty. But
right.
I had these two dogs in a litter. They kept hitting me in the midsection as when they were puppies. So I said, I don't want this. So I taught them to sit for food.
Oh, I bet she was mad at you.
Oh, she was mad.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, what are you teaching them to sit for? I said, because I can't stand it because they keep jumping on me.
Right.
But so once he's calmed down, just teach him the regular sit, you know, sit, hold the food up. You might have to pat his butt down the first few times, but he'll fit. You know, sitting is, well, as I always say, you're not teaching the dog to sit because he already knows how to sit. You're teaching him to sit on command.
Right.
And you just hold the food up, usually straight over his head. He'll arch back and sit down. You give him the food, or kind of force him into a sit a little bit and give him the food.
I'll tell you what I have been doing. When he gets on that kick and jump, and when I go to put him on the leash, I just command him, say, now no more jumping, no more jumping, and no more jumping. Mm-hmm. And finally, he just settles down.
Well, see, he would settle down whether you said no more jumping or not. He gets tired of it.
Okay.
But once he learns that you're not going for the walk until he stops jumping, then he's going to stop jumping.
Okay.
Coupled with the sit command, you can go up to him, you can tell him to sit, he'll sit, you can switch the chain with the lead and say, let's go, and then he'll walk with you. I do this with all the dogs, it doesn't matter how old they are, but they'll jump at you go to let them out of the run, and they're jumping and jumping and smashing into the door, and I just stand there. And as soon as they calm down, I take a step toward the door. Then they start smashing the door again, and I just stop. And
okay.
I would say it's never taken me more than 5 minutes to train dogs not to jump on the door, just by stopping and waiting until they did what I wanted them to do, and then I would do what they wanted me to do. So try that. See if that works.
The other problem is that when I have him on the lead, he wants to pull so bad. Is there any way of breaking him?
I think he needs some classes.
Yes, there are ways of doing that. If he wants to pull, probably it's, when you have a lab, these dogs can run for miles and miles and never get tired. If you're walking him to exercise him, you might want to invest in a flexi lead. You probably are using a 6-foot leather lead.
No, it's a 6-foot nylon lead.
Okay, yeah. You can get them, and they're not cheap, but they're not expensive, maybe $25 or $30. But it goes out about 25 feet and expands and contracts.
Okay.
And that'll give the dog the opportunity. Now, he might hit the end of the 25 and start pulling then, too. But it gives them, usually when you're walking a dog, they'll go out maybe 10, 15 feet and start sniffing the ground.
Unless you're
in open field, I suppose.
Yep, but that's where I'm at, and he does that. He's always pouncing on, he thinks there's something in the grass, and he's always making a lunge and pouncing.
How old is he, by the way?
Well, he was supposed to be a year and a half old when I got him.
Yeah, he's still a pup.
I know he is.
Yeah, a lot of that will calm down by itself. But I don't know how many flexi, we probably have 10 flexi leads. And
I use a flexi.
Yeah.
See this?
Yeah. Can you see that, folks?
This is a wound from a flexi lead. I almost took my finger off.
Yeah. What you don't want to do is grab the rope.
Right.
Right.
That's why they have the big plastic handle on them.
Okay.
You could try that. And if he's, there may be mice in the field there. There probably are. And we had a Malamute that used to do that. And about every fifth time, he'd leap and he'd come up with a mouse. So they're probably there.
He's notorious for that.
Yeah.
Just enjoy him.
Yeah.
But try those things. See if they work.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Okay. Good luck.
Yeah, bye.
333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. My brother with his young
Tell us about that, because he's only had him for, what, 3 months now?
Yeah, not even that.
Not even that?
They're getting along better, but I said last month on the program that he had this dog that had grown very old, and now he's got this young dog, and he was saying, whew.
What a difference.
I forgot how to do this. And he was saying how the dog is like a fighter in the ring almost in terms of the footwork. Not like the dog is fighting, but just, dancing kind of thing. So they're having a great time. It's a lot of fun.
What kind of dog was it again?
It's a mixed breed. Let me think. I want to say it's part lab.
Everything is part lab.
A part black lab. I don't remember. I can't wait to
Tommy
see him.
Tommy was doing that this week. I have no idea why he's feeling good. And Tommy's 11
an
and a half.
Dog, yeah.
He's an old dog, and he's...
It was the weather. The
he's
weather
going into play bows and bobbing and weaving.
And it's fun to see.
Yeah.
It's fun to see until they run into you. You know, this is a 110-pound dog, and he can take you out pretty fast.
Let's talk with a couple of listeners, and we've got a couple of folks waiting for us here. Let's go next to line two. Caller on a cell phone. Line two. Hi.
Is that me?
That's you.
Yes. I have a dog that I got from Humane Society that we dearly love. He'll be 2 years old in February. He came to me pretty well trained, and I started roughhousing with him, and now I can't stop him from chewing on my ankles as we go down the stairs.
Ooh.
He jumps up and kind of nips me. He now, on the flexi leash, he will, bite it and pull it and play with it. And no, he barks at me and turns around, you know, a little turn, and thinks we're still playing. I have a problem.
What kind of dog is he?
It's a shepherd golden retriever mix.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, don't blame yourself too much, because if he came to you and you thought he was well-trained, he may not have been exhibiting this playful nature during that honeymoon period when you first got him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he sounds like a fun-loving dog. The biting
he's wonderful.
Yeah, the ankle-biting thing could be dangerous going downstairs. But I have that problem, too.
You do.
Yeah.
So many things happen with dogs with us that we say, well, why is that a problem?
When I think about these things, this morning when I was leaving for work, in the middle of the dining room, there were two or three, and I had just vacuumed last night because I do that kind of thing, two or three stuffed animals, a pair of my boots, three shoes. This all happened in a matter of maybe half an hour this morning. And it just made me smile because I always think he's building a little shrine for me because I'm leaving for work for the day. But in somebody else's life, that is like a recipe for disaster because they can't stand that kind of thing. So, you can look at it as a problem, and yes, the chewing of your ankles and so forth could cause you to fall.
No, he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But when I tell him no, he barks and thinks we're playing.
He's talking. He's saying yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do it on a cell phone. Can say no to us as if you're saying it to him.
No.
Yeah. That's not mean enough. Oh.
No, you know what she should really do is just turn and walk away.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Well, I've been trained by Nancy Case,
Linda.
Case, yeah.
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 The word no can mean a lot of things, and your no isn't that bad, but I've had people go, no, no, like that. And you go, well, the dog doesn't care about that. But I think the timeout is the best thing, especially for going down the stairs. And for other things, if the dog starts roughhousing or playing, if you're on a flexi, I take it that you're walking the dog.
Right. And he just does it coming back. He doesn't do it going for his walk, just right before we get home.
Oh.
Maybe he's excited.
Maybe he doesn't
home.
Want to go home yet. Maybe he wants to.
But
stay
if he's on the flexi, draw him all the way up. Don't give him any. You might take a lead with you, switch him to the lead, hold him very close, say, okay, no more walk. You know, you're going to heal now, and when we get back, I'm going to put you in a place where you can't play.
Mm-hmm.
And not for very long because dogs' attention spans aren't that long. Mm-hmm. But just so he knows, so that he associates the behavior with the timeout. If it's too long between the roughhousing and the timeout, then he won't associate it.
Right.
But if you're going down the stairs.
Oh, she said she has a gentle leader.
Ah.
That's so. See, you know, I didn't use it on with him for when I walked him, but he would get so wound up in the house, and I would put his gentle leader on, and you'd have to see it. The effect was dramatic. He would just, he would become very subdued just by wearing that in the house. And I would just put – I never said a word. I would just put it on him and go about whatever I had been doing. And then I'd take it off, and he's like, okay, I don't really like wearing it. Thing doesn't hurt.
No, but he doesn't like it.
None of them like it, and and it's not painful.
No.
It just puts them in a more subordinate position, and that may be your boy's situation also. So try doing that, because I was looking for it last week for some reason.
Well, you know, I hadn't thought of that until I was just talking to you. So
yeah.
Try that.
Try it.
Yeah, I will.
Going down the stairs, I would sit down. You know,
well, there's an idea.
Take the opportunity. In other words, don't wait to train the dog when you're late to go to the show or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say, okay, I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes working on this.
Mm-hmm.
And start to go down. You hope he makes the mistake. He comes up and does it. And just sit down and say, okay, I'm not playing with you. I'm not going down the stairs. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone and turn away from him. Don't, you know, it's a withholding of love at that point.
Yeah.
Now, what that's going to do is increase the behavior.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
He's going to want to know what's going on.
So don't say, oh, those idiots on the radio, this is worse now. Because it will get worse. But mm-hmm. you got to stick to your guns. And withdraw the love, do the timeout, and eventually he'll say, "Well, gee, this is terrible. I've lost the love that I thought I was getting by biting her ankles."
Mm-hmm.
So, but try that and just sit down.
Okay. Good suggestion.
Yeah, that gentle leader does work like a charm.
I worry about gentle leaders if the dog is being wild, though.
Well, I wouldn't have it attached to anything. I would just put it on him,
okay.
And it didn't have a lead attached or anything, and that was just enough for him to say.
Mm-hmm. Especially on a flexi where a dog can get some momentum going. And
how this happened.
They hit the end of it, that gentle leader is going to pull their neck right around.
Yeah. I almost did. I swear, I thought my finger was going to fall off, and I did exactly.
Folks, her finger is like half gone.
And
it looks
hurt,
like, it looks
but
like
it happened at
burn.
Meadowbrook Park, and he almost got hit by a car, too, which was, I mean,
that's
the whole
why you,
event
that's why
was.
You did it, yeah.
And I grabbed, and that thing just went through my hand like a knife through butter, right in this joint. Mm. And I looked at it, and I thought, I couldn't even go to the emergency room because there was nothing there to sew together. There's my chunk of my fingers in the parking lot somewhere. So be careful with those.
Yeah. Let's talk with another
caller.
Line 1, a listener in Champaign. Hi.
Yeah, hi. In about a week, I'm going to be picking up a six-week-old chocolate lab. And I was wondering what I could do to train him before he turns 8 weeks or 9 weeks before I take him to class, and what kind of a leash can I get him started on? Is a choker a good one to start him on?
No. No.
Cheryl gets emotional about
Don't
these.
Put a choke chain on a baby.
I can't
do that.
Right. You want just a dead...
Just a regular collar.
Collar.
Okay.
Not a dead collar. What is a dead collar?
Well, we call it the dead ring.
I know. Just get a nice little inexpensive nylon collar, because you'll be going through collars at a pretty good clip.
Yeah, that dog's going to grow fast.
But at 6 weeks, you know, at 6 weeks,
you
that's
can,
really young, too.
Yeah. Well, you can start training them to
you
do little
You can start
things.
Training, but the
little
6 weeks
things.
Is really young. There's a big difference between 6 weeks and 8 weeks.
There is, but...
From what I hear, and the guy seems to know what he's talking about. He's bred them a few times, and he said with 6 weeks, they bond with you more.
That may be true. 8 weeks, I forgot.
No, it's a
7 weeks.
See, these are all theories.
Yeah.
49 days of age was for how many years considered the optimum? If you brought it home on the 80th day, they didn't bond. If you did it on the 78th or whatever, but 49 days was optimum.
What are you going to do with him? Are you going to hunt with him or?
No, he's gonna. I'm gonna take him out a lot and go swim with him. But she won't be a hunting dog. She'll be
a companion.
A companion and do a lot of walking, do a lot of running. Take him out to ponds.
Yeah, with the other folks, you know, they had the dogs are two or three by the time they got them. This is the time, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever. This is the time to teach the dog to come to you. Okay, so. You can play games in the house. If you have other family members, everybody gets a cookie. And you can just sit on the floor. One person calls the dog. It runs to them. They give them the cookie. The other person calls them. They run over to them. The dog gets a cookie.
Okay.
A nice fun game at maybe 6 weeks is a little young, but have the dog in one room and go into another one and call the dog. this seems like a fairly easy thing, but for...
Oh, no, it's a lot of territory to navigate,
too. 6-week-old dog, they can't see you. They get a little confused about how to follow the voice and that kind of thing.
And, he's got two Siamese cats to get used to, too, so...
Oh, at 6 weeks, they'll get along fine.
My guess is... I've had Siamese, by the way. And my guess is the cats will look at him and just wham him on the nose.
Yeah, just get it out of the way.
Don't worry about it. Let the cats beat him up. They're not going to hurt him or her. They're not going to hurt her. But dogs, once the dog becomes convinced that the cats are dominant, you won't have, for the rest of their life, the dog will think that. So
that is true.
Even after the dog is much bigger than the cats. Now, outside, it'll be a different story. But in the house, the dog will leave the cats alone. Let them work out their own problems. Don't. In other words, when the cats are hitting the dog, if they do that, don't say, "Hey, cats, quit that." You know, don't do that. Let them do it. They're not going to hurt the dog.
Okay.
He should sign up for puppy kindergarten classes now too, because that's so much fun.
What age is a good age to get him to puppy kindergarten?
Oh, they start at 8 weeks.
8 weeks. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and go online.
And another thing, I've heard of Walter's Water Dog and Walter's Water Dog videos. Are they? Have you heard of those?
They're old.
They're old?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but I've got them. I've read them. They're old. Some of the information's good, but some of his training methods by today's standards would be considered a little bit too harsh.
What could you give me one or two good books to get?
Boy. What? Why did this just fly out of my head? I get asked these questions
all
the time.
What's his name wrote Super Puppy?
Yeah, Ian Dunbar. Anything by Ian Dunbar would be a good book.
Dunbar, okay.
Oh, I know. What's the name of it? Every Good Dog Should Know. That's the name of the book I like. What All Good Dogs Should Know. I've got it at home. It's a really excellent book that helps you understand dogs pretty well. But All Good Dogs Should Know. That's the name. Volhard with a V and Bartlett.
Hey, thanks for the recommendation.
You're welcome.
Okay. Have fun with the pup. What a great thing.
Yeah. But 6 weeks is so young. And then, you know, but people don't know. So I'm glad they called because, you know, just think of a little baby. That's still, that cartilage is so soft. So you've got to keep all that in mind. And then, you know. I didn't want to say, don't run with him, because I was like destroying all his ideas. But young dogs shouldn't be run, you know, until they're what, over a year?
What are you talking about?
Jogging. Jogging.
I wouldn't take
people,
a, I wouldn't
people
take a
jogging
6 week
with, old. No, you just, you take them for short walks.
Oh, when they're 6-8 months, you can jog with them.
Yeah, but not very far, you know, just build up to these things.
No, they don't have a lot of endurance at that age.
No.
They got a lot of energy.
They got a lot of energy. But, but short walks with these little babies, you know, a couple times a day instead of 2 or 3 miles, they can't do it.
Well,
they don't want to do it.
A 6-week-old dog is not going to be coordinated enough to go jogging.
Well, I didn't mean he was going to jog with it at 6 weeks.
Oh,
I meant when it was still young, when it was still 3 or 4 months old.
Well, 3 or 4 months is probably a little bit young. Once they hit 6 months, they're pretty much they're pretty much ready.
Okay. And when are puppy kindergarten classes and when are classes coming up and going to start again?
Puppy class is next week. The graduation. And
but his puppy will be the right age.
He will be just right in the perfect age.
Perfect age.
The new classes start then in January. That's why I say, you know, go to our webpage.
But see, the puppy kindergarten, it starts at 8 weeks, the puppies. But they can be between the parameters of 8 weeks and, was it 12 or 14?
I don't know.
Depends on the breed, too. 16 weeks. So, you know, anything in between those ages is fine.
The problem is puppies don't. And their ages don't fit into a nice, neat thing for schooling.
Yeah. And the time you acquire them doesn't fit in there either. But I'll tell you, it's a whole world of difference if you can get into puppy kindergarten class.
Dog Training
anywhere.
Club of Champaign-Urbana. Jim, Carol, thanks so much.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, we'll see you in January, huh?
January 4th or 5th?
2006.
Oh, my word.
5th, I think, yeah. I'll actually be able to be here. We'll be back from dog sledding by then.
Oh.
Great. Okay. Well, have a great time.
I'll try.
Have a good holiday.
You too. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are guests this afternoon. They join us on the first Friday of the month. Coming up, settlement prices from the Board of Trade.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Now here's Todd Gleason with settlement prices from the Board of Trade. Todd?
Thank you very much, Celeste. From the Chicago Board of Trade on this Friday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished like this. The nearby December contract at the board had a high today of 306.5, the low there at $3.03. Settlement price at 303.5. They were off 2 on the day. The March contract down 2.25, 322.75 the high, the low at 319, and the settlement price down 2.25 cents for the March wheat at 319.75. May contract now 331.75 the high. Low at 328, settlement price at 328.75, down 2.75. In July futures, 340.5, the high, the low at 36.5, a settlement price there at $3.37.25. They finished down 2.75 on the day. September futures, 348, the high, the low at 344.5, settlement price 345.5, off 2.5 cents on the day. From the corn pit, nearby December contract, up 0.5 cent, the only gainer in the pit for the day, 191.25, the high, the low at 189.25. Settlement price for that Dease contract, which is in expiration at 189.75. It was up 0.5 on the day. May futures, March futures, 204.75 the high, the low at 202.75. Settlement price 203.25 for the March corn, and it finished down 0.5. May futures off 0.5 as well today, 213.25 the high, the low at 11.25. Settlement price at 211.75 for the May corn. July futures, 221.25 the high, low 219.5. Settlement price there at $2.22. It was off 0.25 today. And September futures in the corn pit, 229.75 the high, the low at 228. Settlement price at 228, down 0.5. December corn at Chicago Board of Trade for next year, 2006 contract, 240.25 the high, the low at 238.75. Settlement price at $2.39 a bushel for the Dease corn contract for next year, down 0.5 for the day. December oats now, 204 the high, the low at 201.75. Settlement price following that big day up yesterday, 204 up 4. March contract to 191.75 the high, the low at 186.5. Settlement price at $1.90.75. They were up a nickel on the day. Soy complex, January beans, 564.5 the high, the low at 558. Settlement price there at $5.62.75. They were up 3 for the day. March futures, 572 the high, the low at 566. Settled at $5.70.5. They were up 2.5 on the day. May futures, 577.5 the high, the low at 571. Settlement price, 574.75, up 1.5. And the July contract, 581.5 the high, the low at 576.5. Settlement price at $5.80. They were up 1.75. August futures, 582.5 the high, the low at 579.5. Settlement price at 581. They were up 4 for the day, rather up 0.5 for the day. And September futures, 583.5 the high, the low at 582. September beans settled at $5.82, unchanged. November's were unchanged on the day as well. They finished at 587 with a high at 90 and a low at 85. December bean meal futures, 174 the high, the low at 171.70. Settlement price at 173.80. They were up $1.50. January futures were up $1.20. 174.30 the high, the low at 172.10, and a settlement price $1.20 higher at 173.70 per ton. December bean oil now, 21.29 the high, the low at 21.02. Settlement price at 21.29. They were up 25 for the day. And January futures at 21.60 on the high, the low at 21.27. Settlement price at 21.56, and they finished 29 higher. Now here's Celeste with numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
Lower day today on the Merc. January feeder cattle 117.20, the high 116.40, the low 116.67.5, the settlement that down 97.5. March 115.60, the high 114.55, the low 115 even, the settlement that down 87.5. April 113.80, the high 112.75, the low 113.22.5, the settlement that down 115. December live cattle 94 even, the high 92.77.5, the low finishing at 93.02.5, down 135. February, 96.50, the high, 95.30, the low, 95.82 and a half, the settlement, that down 107 and a half. December, lean hog, 63.80, the high, 62 even, the low, 62.80, the settlement, that down 55. February, 68.30, the high, 65.95, the low, 66.22 and a half, the settlement, that down 172 and a half. April's contract, 70.40, the high, 68.25, the low, 68.90, the settlement, that down 125. May, 71.05, the high, 69.72 and a half, the low, the settlement, 70.22 and a half, that down 75. February bellies, 89.45, the high, 88.07 and a half, the low, 88.77 and a half, the settlement, that down 37 and a half. Let's take a look now at the Dow. It's off 41 points at 10,872. The S&P 500, 2 lower at 1263. NASDAQ down 2 at 2266.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This is WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. 1 minute before 2 o'clock Central Time, 21 degrees in Urbana. Coming up this afternoon on The World from PRI, think vintage wine, and you probably do not think Israel. But the Holy Land is arguably the birthplace of winemaking. Now, Israeli vineyards hope to compete with top wineries from France and California. On the program, we'll hear how Israel's winemakers are moving beyond everyday kosher to fine Cabernet. Israeli wine and the day's news coming up this afternoon on The World. You can hear the program at 3 p.m. this afternoon Central Time and at 7 p.m. this evening.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Academy for Entrepreneurial Leadership at the University of Illinois, a resource for UIUC faculty and students with entrepreneurial ideas and aspirations. More information on the Academy can be found at www.ael.uiuc.edu.
This afternoon's forecast for Illinois and